Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody, live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters, and we thank you very much for joining us. We also thank our very special guest, Beth DeLima, who's joining us here, HR consultant, subject matter expert, witness, trainer, vocational rehabilitation consultant, specializing in the Americans with Disability Act and Family Medical Leave Act. This is part two of our exclusive three-part series with Beth, joining us from Northern California. She's the founder of the innovative organization known as Leave Management Solutions, and they provide all the letters, forms, checklists, and assets and training needed to manage as well as direct and execute an integrative FMLA, medical leave, and ADA accommodation management system for corporations, all while managing employee-related performance challenges, EEO complaints, company policies, and union contracts. As we've mentioned, this includes both state and federal regulations, including the new Pregnancy Workers Fairness Act, as well as FMLA, ADA workers' compensation, and related company policies. Over three decades of HR and vocational consulting experience enabled Beth to do what she does so well as an expert witness, to testify in a variety of personal management court cases when employees get sued and their attorneys contact her for help to clarify whether a company and the personnel did or did not follow HR industry standards of care. She's taken all the experience she's learned in these cases to create Leave Management Solutions. She realizes that these lawsuits had much to do with the implementation of these regulations, specifically when they run concurrently or if there is ongoing harassment or discrimination investigations with a stress component that requires FMLA. LMS has the tools and resources HR needs, plus an annual membership which includes free biweekly consulting meetings that enable her to mentor HR responsible for managing leaves and accommodations in the workplace. The website is Leave, that's L-E-A-V-E, leavemanagementsolutions.com. And we'll mention that again during the course of the broadcast. Again, this is part two. If you'd like to go back to part one, that is archived, and she'll also be back next week at the same time here on Close Up Radio. But without further ado, let's welcome our very special guest, Beth, to the show. Beth, welcome to Close Up Radio for part two of our series together. Lots to talk about today. Thoroughly looking forward to it as we dive into ADA compliance blueprint. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim, for having me. Nice to talk with you again.
The pleasure is all ours, Beth. I know you're always running around and so busy, so we really appreciate the time you're giving us to really break this out and explain this to us and the benefits of working with Leave Management Solutions and how you can help people. What is the purpose from your perspective, Beth, of the ADA Compliance Blueprint training?
About 30 years ago, a little bit longer than that, the American with Disabilities Act passed. And when they provided the regulations, they didn't provide directions or clarification on how to implement these regulations. And it can be quite complex helping Americans with disabilities find ways to get their jobs done. And what I discovered is that the HR profession, who has the responsibility for accommodating employees in the workplace, does not have necessarily the background that a vocational rehabilitation consultant would have in exposure to job descriptions and serious medical disabilities and helping employees find ways to work with their disabilities. So I discovered that from my perspective, I felt it was really important to provide HR an opportunity to understand a comprehensive approach to addressing accommodations in the workplace. And over the last 20 to 30 years, I've been developing this program so HR professionals can actually get access to the resources they need to know how to do a good faith interactive meeting or an undue hardship analysis. So the training was developed as a resource tool for the HR individuals who are charged with assuring that disabled Americans in the workplace are getting the best opportunity that they can to find an accommodation that would allow them to effectively perform the functions of their job.
So what areas does it focus on specifically, Beth?
There's a couple of really important areas in the American with Disabilities Act implementation strategy. One of the first ones is when you're transitioning from FEMLA to ADA. That's where a lot of these lawsuits occur because third-party administrators don't deal with that transition, or if they do, they just don't have the experience and the on-site exposure to do this on a case-by-case basis. So we want to make sure that the HR manager is familiar with what we expect the third-party administrator to do and when they need to step in and take over that role to move from FEMLA to ADA if leave is a continuing. And also, as importantly, that they understand the difference in the eligibility criteria, because a serious health condition under Family Medical Leave Act is not always a disability under the American with Disabilities Act. The other area that we really want to focus on is the interactive process. Are you really engaging this employee at a significant enough level to help them help you identify a way to accommodate them?
Mm-hmm. That's so important. It's crucial. Absolutely. Can you define for us what a qualified individual with a disability means?
Well, this is one of the areas that I'm referring to in terms of that transition. When you're transitioning from Family Medical Leave Act to ADA, we've got a different standard of evaluation for the medical condition. Under the Family Medical Leave Act, it's a serious health condition. A serious health condition could be anything that requires repetitive treatment with a medical provider. And especially in California, we don't even get to ask what the underlying medical condition is. So when you're transitioning from Family Medical Leave Act, or somebody's just asking for an accommodation under the ADA, we need to define at the start of the interactive process, are they a qualified individual with a disability? And what that means is that they are disabled in the eyes of the state or the federal government regulation, that they have a disability that's defined as a disability, it's been diagnosed, and that even though they have this disability, with our help in HR, can we find a method of accommodating them that would allow them to have the ability to perform their job functions with the disability? That would be meeting all the essential functions of the job and being able to perform all of the essential functions of the job with that accommodation. So if we have an employee who has a disability that has been diagnosed and we are able to work with them and identify a way for them to perform all their job functions with their disability, then they are a qualified individual with a disability. However, if they can only perform some of their job functions but not all of them, or they can perform all of them but they can't perform them at a meet expectations level, in other words, performing at the level that the company needs them to perform at to actually meet the criteria of the job, then they would not be a qualified individual with a disability. So we spend a lot of time making sure that the individuals we're helping are eligible and that they can actually do the job with the accommodation.
That's really important. Again, it's such great work and important work that you're doing, and I know you're so extraordinarily passionate about this, Beth, and you help so many people. As you do this work, from your expertise, what are the biggest challenges that you see employers face in implementing the ADA?
Probably experience and maybe lack of understanding of the nuances that you want to pay attention to. Because if you're unfortunately unable to provide an accommodation for an employee and we haven't gone through the interactive process deliberately and diligently and documented our efforts in attempting to find accommodations, including leave if that's required and it's not an undue hardship, including analyzing if it is an undue hardship, do we really have objective data to support that? And understanding that just because they're protected under FEMLA doesn't mean that they qualify for ADA, and it's not a great idea to just allow employees to continue leave for a couple weeks because it exceeds FEMLA without going through that interactive process. And in the state of California, if you fail to do that, you're violating two state regulations. So we really want to make sure that employees are being protected if they should be, and that employers are really consistently implementing a process the same way for every employee so they can document that they did their job. And if they are unable to find an accommodation, it's not because they didn't try, it's because one doesn't exist that would allow the employee to perform the functions. So it's really important that we take this seriously because we're dealing with people's livelihoods and their ability to work. And the purpose of the American with Disabilities Act was to allow people with disabilities to stay in the workplace and be productive members of our society.
Now, you're a revered vocational rehabilitation consultant yourself. As I mentioned in the introduction, we talked about last week, what is, maybe you can define for us, what is the role of the vocational rehabilitation consultant in all this?
It's really interesting, Jim, what happened with the vocational rehab industry. This regulation, the American with Disabilities Act, passed over 30 years ago. And at the time, I was actively working as a voc rehab consultant as well as doing HR consulting. It became very clear to me very quickly that the vocational rehabilitation consultants have the expertise already and have been trained with the expertise to create essential function job descriptions because they specialize in working with disabled Americans and finding strategies to help them be productive members of society at all levels of disability. And unfortunately, for some reason, they got left out of this package of support for employers. And what I'm hoping to do, especially in the training that we're doing in August in Oakland on the 10th and the 11th of 2023, it'll be available via Zoom also if it's past that date. But what we're trying to do is introduce HR on day two of the training to what the value is of a vocational rehabilitation consultant in the ADA and medical leave arena. Vocational rehabilitation consultants can be called in to be a member of the team to do the good faith interactive meeting and determine if you can identify an accommodation that would allow them to have the ability to perform their job functions with their disability. Vocational consultants are excellent at coming in and doing on-site assessments to amend job descriptions if for some reason the employee job description does not address their disability. A lot of job descriptions talk about mental or physical requirements of the job, but they're not as sophisticated when they discuss the cognitive and mental requirements. So when we have someone with a disability, we often have to modify the job description or amend it to include those details so the medical provider and the employee can work together to understand how their disability impacts their ability to do their job and make suggestions to the employer. A vocational rehabilitation consultant is an excellent asset for both developing job descriptions, amending job descriptions, doing on-site analyses for difficult cases for accommodation, and actually sitting in on the accommodation interactive process to help identify accommodations. So they are an underused resource that I'm hoping that over the next year I will be a facilitator and blowing their horn and helping them get involved in this process and being an asset to HR managers across the country.
It's quite exciting, isn't it? I can hear the excitement and just your passion for this.
I really, really have gotten involved in this very quickly because of what I experienced with the gal who had cancer. And it's been astounding to me how little there is out there to understand the nuances when these regulations are occurring together and to really provide HR the guidance they need so they can consistently respond when the challenges come in front of them. And I love doing this kind of work. It's exciting to see people be successful at work, especially when they're significantly disabled. They're just such valuable, loyal employees.
Yeah, and it's passionate. It really is. And you're passionate about this work extraordinarily. So that's good for the audience to realize and clients to realize that you're all in. What is your suggestion for a new human resources graduate, HR graduate, who is interested in this area of compliance specialty in HR?
Well, I'm sure some of the new graduates have seen what happened over COVID in HR. And human resources has a lot of areas of specialization. You have people who are just recruiters. You have people who deal with benefits. You have people who deal with just workers' comp. And then you have somebody who's in charge of the whole employee life cycle from recruiting to termination. If you are in HR and you want to be one of those big managers that covers everything in HR, often getting into a smaller employer is going to allow you the opportunity to get exposure to all of that. But it doesn't matter what size employer you're working for in the United States. If you've got over 5 to 15 employees, you are already hitting all of the major regulations that deal with medical leaves and accommodations in the United States. And once you have 50, everything applies. And so if an individual who is coming out of school really is excited about this particular area, that is different than talent management, that is different than recruiting, that is really hands-on, helping employees who are scared, who are impacted about whether they're going to be able to keep their job if they've had an accident or if their medical condition has gotten flared up again. And so we really are like counselors. And I would encourage anybody in HR who wants to be in this very specific role to make sure you are getting good, detailed training and get the knowledge of the background of these regulations and then start understanding the details of implementing them when they cross over each other. So a training on family medical leave without integrating ADA and workers' comp and pregnancy is not going to give you what you need to really understand how to help employees get access to these benefits in the United States. And I would encourage them to try and get internships that are specifically for medical leave and accommodation. The opportunities nationally for these jobs is ballooning, not only for organizations who want somebody on site, but for third-party administrators who are trying to hire leave and accommodation specialists. But it's very difficult to learn this area because you really learn it on the job. We've got downloadable training at leavemanagementsolutions.com that you can get access to 24/7 for all the various factors of these leaves and accommodation management. It's about 30 hours of training with all of the live support you get. And we also have the live training that we're doing in August, and we do those 2 or 3 times a year. So take the time to educate yourself and read the regulations. Don't ever just rely on what an attorney tells you about medical leave and accommodation management. They are not implementers. They are litigators, and they deal with the law. We deal with human emotions and the employees, and that's a little bit different kind of touch than just making sure you're complying with the regulation. And what I try and encourage my employees and my clients that I work with and the consultants that work with me is to really remember that in human resources, it's the human that we're engaging with. And it's our job to take care of them as much as we take care of the company. And that's what I like to remind new HR people about, that the human in human resources is just as much of our job as anything else.
What a great mission to be on, Beth. I think it extends beyond even the workplace. I just think as a whole in society, the humanity of everything should be front and center. And the fact that you are so passionate and it is your mission to not only do the nuts and bolts, but to bring the human side of it and allow it to rise up and shine is unique, rare, and quite extraordinary. You could just really focus on what's got to get done, but you really want to focus on the individual and their hopes, dreams, desires. And I think that's a beautiful thing. It's also a testament to who you are as a person, and that's why you do what you do and why you do it so well. So just wanted to throw that in before we move on to the next. Beth had no idea I was going to say that, but just wanted to throw that in.
Thank you.
It's so true, and I hope
so
people
much.
Really, I hope people are gravitating to and focusing on that while we do still talk about the nuts and bolts of how it all works. Like, for example, how do you deal with the issue of, and again, it's not the most pleasant of topics, but it's part of the reality, the issue of fraud when it comes to some of these programs?
And I think that really does shine a light again on the human piece of it. Employees will take advantage of employers if we allow them to. It's sort of human nature to push the envelope as much as you can sometimes. And so our goal is to make sure we're consistent in the way we implement these regulations, because there is going to be fraud. There is going to be abuse. We are going to be firing people who cannot be accommodated. And we want to treat people with respect throughout that process. And if we treat people with respect, even if there is fraud or if there is abuse or they need to be terminated, we've got a record that we acted in good faith. And that's part of our process is to teach HR how to document what they're doing so they have that clear, objective, unbiased record. But when it comes to fraud, this is very similar to the gal who we had to get a second and third opinion for in our first podcast, who had cancer. When an employee is telling you there's something wrong and it doesn't make sense to you, or they're telling you something but the doctor's note says something else, they're saying, I can't come to work, I have to be off work completely because I can't sit down. Okay, well, can't you come to work and stand? We don't understand why you can't come to work just because you can't sit down. We need more information. And so when there's confusion and not clarity, we start by questioning the employee to clarify for us. And if their clarification doesn't make sense, we need documentation. In America with Disabilities Act, everything is objectively documented. So an employee can't tell us what their medical condition is and have us just use that information. We would always get objective data to confirm that what they're telling us is accurate, and that when they're saying the doctor says they can't work 100% because they can't stand, they've actually explained to the doctor that they have a sit-stand desk that allows them to modify that. And did they really tell them that? So we're going to go down deep when that happens and really help the employee, help us, get the data they need so we can understand what they're trying to tell us. And frankly, if they're not willing or able to do that, and what they're telling us is contradicting what the doctor is saying, they're going to have challenges getting compliance and getting protected under the ADA. So fraud is a big challenge, and we take it very seriously. When you're dealing with third-party administrators, they don't typically address fraud and abuse. They don't do curing and second and third opinions, not under Family Medical Leave Act, and certainly not under the ADA. They might push you towards a fixed functional capacity evaluation or physical ability assessment. And all of those kinds of things are going to cross over some very serious confidentiality lines if the HR manager is not very clear about their procedure and what would be a catalyst for that kind of a request. We pay attention. We create a clean, clear, consistent methodology for implementing these regulations, and then we stick to it. Whether it takes us 3 months or 3 days, the methodology and the implementation strategy stays the same, and that by itself will help identify any abuses that the employees are introducing to the system.
So very important, crucial on so many different levels. What is the role of a third-party administrator in the medical leave management process?
Well, typically, they handle Family Medical Leave Act, and they do that because it's very specific. Within 5 days of knowing or should have known that somebody has a medical issue that might qualify under the Family Medical Leave Act at a state or federal level, you only have 5 working days to send that notification of eligibility or conditional designation or additional information is needed. So a lot of employers hire third-party administrators to manage that process. The challenge is, as a rule, in my experience in the last 30 years, third-party administrators do not do curing, and they do not do second and third opinions. They are very designed for volume processing. They are not designed for individual attention to an employee who's having a medical issue and needs help at work. So HR managers, please be very, very clear that your third-party administrator will indemnify themselves, most likely. Check your contract. That means if you get sued, even because of something they did because you didn't quite follow up correctly, for example, they're not going to be at the table when you're in litigation. But I probably will be if your attorney calls me. So we want to make sure, HR, you understand these regulations and the way they work together so you can use a third-party administrator as a tool to help you. And you're not delegating your responsibility of understanding the nuances, of knowing what you don't know, so when you run into it, you can manage it and prevent a lawsuit that a third-party administrator might cause if you rely on them or more than what they should be assisting you with.
That's so important. Again, everything we're talking about is less than a minute left, but maybe you can give us a suggestion for an existing HR manager who has been given that responsibility of managing medical leaves and accommodations in the workplace.
High level, know what you don't know. Don't rely on your corporate attorney unless they are an employment law attorney. Reach out and get help. We're here if you need us. We've got a lot of resources on leavemanagementsolutions.com. But most importantly, remember, this will be your responsibility if you're in charge. And it's very important to take full charge of it and create a system that works in your organization with your culture. And remember that third-party administrators and attorneys are resources, but it's going to be your responsibility. You will be the person most knowledgeable sitting on the stand in litigation if there's a lawsuit, because we're expecting HR to understand how to implement these very, very complex compliance, medical leave and accommodation, state and federal regulations in a manner that not only takes care of the employer, but makes sure that we are treating the employee with respect and consideration and helping them stay working if they can.
our very special guest, Beth DeLima of Leave Management Solutions. And I want to mention that website again, Leave, that's L-E-A-V-E, managementsolutions.com. Beth will be back with us next week. That's July 25th. Looking forward to that. 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. And the topic next week, which we hope you will join us for, is ADA accommodation analysis and the vocational rehabilitation consultants. We'll be talking about that. So good stuff. Beth, thanks so much for joining us on this incredible episode, as they all are with you. And we appreciate all the time.
Thank you so much, Jim. Have a good rest of the day, everybody.
You as well. You as well. Keep up the extraordinary work. And looking forward to following up next week. Want to let everybody know this entire episode is archived and recorded, so you can hear it in full right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, stay tuned. I will be back momentarily with another incredible guest for you in just about 30 minutes here on Close Up Radio. For all of us, have a great day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.